Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach Gus Bradley, where we are live here on the Jaguars Radio Network and I guess now on Jaguars.com. Wait. Okay.
You know what? How about Joel? What a setup he's got.
Yeah. How come we don't have a camera on our man? Do we have a camera? Can we show you right now? Can we turn the camera on?
Okay, it's all good.
Say
it's
hi,
all good.
Joe. Okay. Wave to the fans. You got a lot of them. But back with the head coach. Boy, an exciting week.
It has been. You know what? To get through the preseason, and you know, you can just see it's all amped up now with the players and the excitement and just a different level of intensity out in the practice field.
Part of the beginning of the season is the process of naming captains to your football team, and three of them were named. Paul Posluszny, no surprise there, he's been a captain before. Carson Tinker, a first-time captain on special teams. And what I love to see is Blake Bortles as a captain on offense. It's always good that a quarterback is your captain.
Yeah, you know what? And he's earned that. He's done a great job. Ever since he's been here, he's really the players have really responded to him. He's got the voice in the locker room where guys listen to him. Although he's not real outspoken, it's more by actions. But, you know, that's his next step. And, you know, I know he appreciates it.
How does that process work? Because every team is different. Some are voted on by the players. Sometimes the coaches name them. How do you guys go about doing
that? Well, the players vote on them. You know, we had a, you know, after we cut down the players and we got down to 53 and named the practice squad, then we have a vote within the team. And it was really cool, Logs. We had, I think there was 24 guys that got votes for captains. So it's really cool that it was spread out like that.
Is that the highest number you've ever had?
Yeah. I'd have to go back and look. But, I mean, just that guys are well thought of on the team. And that's what we want. We want to have 63 leaders. You know, as many as we can. But there's always going to be those three guys that that stand out and guys that really respond to.
Did you have any guys that wanted a recount?
I'm sure there's probably a few that, you know, said, let's vote again. But, no, we just stayed true to it.
And a longer week, opening week, except for the Broncos and Panthers, which play tonight. We'll get to that in a minute. The longer week, I've always liked the last preseason game being on Thursday because, you know, you have to go through the roster cuts. And that extra length of that first week kind of allows everybody to do a couple different things. One is to adjust to the change, number one. But also, a lot of people don't even think about this. You've got a lot of young players on your team that were in temporary housing or hotels or whatever, and all of a sudden now they've learned that they've made the football team. Now they have to get, you know, a place to live for furniture, pots and pans, and everything else.
Sure, that was the challenge, you know, to make sure they have, you know, can find a place to live. They can get all those things taken care of before we actually start, you know, with our meeting on Sunday. So they had time to do that. You know, they understand it. You know, most of them obviously rent, so they can find places to live. But it is, you know, for a couple things too. You got a couple days off for the players, so injuries. A lot of guys came in and got extra treatment, and it put us in position to where we are now, where we're relatively healthy team.
Is this the healthiest that the team has been since you've been here going
yeah.
into an opening game?
You know, that was really our intent. You know, for years, Jacksonville was, you know, last or towards the last in the league on IR guys. So we knew something had to be done differently. So we've gotten into the GPS. We've gotten into, you know, monitoring guys' practice, hydration, really to try to help us with this. And then really how we set up the whole training camp. And to come out of it this healthy, it is. I believe it is the healthiest we've been.
Had a conversation with General Manager Dave Caldwell today because I kind of wanted clarification on some of the rules about PUP versus IR and can you bring guys back. And he explained to me that when you guys make the cut to 53, if you're planning on putting somebody on IR, you know, for example, Josh Wells, he has to clear and make the 53, and then after that point, then you can place him on IR, then add another, which you guys did with, I believe it was it the wide receiver?
Aurelius Ben.
And so then once he makes the 53, then you can put him on IR, so he is a possibility to return.
Right. And you can, you know, that's where it's changed a little bit in the NFL that, you know, even though guys are on IR, you have one place where you can bring them back, you know, the designated to return. So we just have to make our decision as this goes on. You got guys like Luke Bolenko, you know, who was on PUP. But, you know, other guys that we got to look at and find out who are we going to designate. And, you know, it's really based on the injuries that we have during the season.
It's good to be healthy, but at the same time, it's also isn't it good that the league changed that rule about the designation to return, whereas before you had to name a guy going in, whereas now whoever ends up on IR from this point forward, Josh Wells included, you can bring back after an eight-week period.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the decisions we have to make. And like I said, it goes back to the injuries that you have. You know, it gives you just a little bit of flexibility. You know, if there's a certain position group that's been hit harder than others.
Thursday Night Football starts tonight, a Super Bowl rematch. What is it, the first time in like 46 years in the National Football League's history to where a Super Bowl rematch has occurred in week one? Will you have a chance to watch the game tonight?
No, you know what? Maybe the tail end of it. You know, sometimes in our hallway we have the game on. So we still got some prep time to do. We've got another good practice tomorrow. So a lot of our time we put into that. But I'm sure, you know, we'll hear the scores as the evening goes on.
To go back to the injuries, because I meant to ask you one question. This week, Roy Miller, full go. Okay, positive sign because he kind of ended up not playing at the very end of the preseason because of an injury. Jared Odrick was added because of a jaw. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's okay. He should be. I mean, everything that he's gone through right now and the evaluation of our training staff, there's always could be a hiccup or two, you know, that takes place between now and then. But right now, everything's a go.
What is the hardest part about having – kickoff weekend or opening game? What is the hardest part as far as that transition from the preseason game to a regular season game? Is it the length of playing time? Is it the emotions of the first game? What is it?
Well, there's a combination, you know, because you've got kind of a team that we have some veteran players, some free agent players that have come in that have played a lot of games. Then we got some young players. So you really have to meet the needs of everybody on the team. So there's going to be some nervousness. There's going to be some excitement. There's going to be some anticipation. So all those things, we really just really try to put an emphasis on each practice. Like Wednesday, hey, this is the most physical practice of the week, and we need to put all of our attention to that. To really say, all right, whatever's happening on the outside, let's take care of today. And then, today was, you know, the most, as far as the practice of the week, it's the most mentally challenging practice. And, you know, we have themes that go along with the week, too. So, you know, you're trying to direct your attention so their focus is entirely on preparation.
As you kind of get closer to a weekend, do you want to kind of tone things down a little bit as far as the way, and I'm not talking physically or mentally or anything like that, but to try to curb the emotional aspect of opening game so that, because, you know, a lot of people expect that, you know, coach gives this speech the night before a game and it's, yeah, let's get ready to go.
Right.
But it's almost would have the opposite effect of what you desired, isn't it, for an opening game? Because, I mean, guys are fired up already.
Yeah, like I said, they're excited. And, you know, there's 16 games. But, opening day, there's something special about it. So, and to be at home in front of our fans against a good opponent like we have coming in. So, you know, we're not going to hide from that. I always tell the guys, if you're excited, you're excited. You know, acknowledge it. And then it really, you know, generally brings a calm to them. Once you acknowledge it, they're not fighting it anymore. And then their focus goes entirely to the game.
I know that a lot of things are planned for prior to the game. You know, I guess a full field length flag is going to be done. It's going to be a flyover. A lot of significance, obviously, because it's 9/11 and the history of events that occurred on 9/11. What does 9/11 mean to you?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's one of those moments where we all look back and we know exactly where we were when it happened. And I was back at North Dakota State. And when you heard the news, just how many people it impacted. And I think everybody that, you know, I know that someone impacted it with me, my relationship with a coaching friend that had a nephew that was killed in it. So, you know, you just have so many people that you know that have some story related to 9/11. And it was such a powerful moment in the history. And, you know, I think what I look at as just how we all rally together. And it brought strength in a really challenging time.
You know, and as part of that presentation, there's a lot of emotion that will be occurring. Some of the attention around the league has been on this Colin Kaepernick situation. What do you make of that? And as a head coach, what if that happens here?
Right. You know, and we're pretty open, you know, in our conversations in our locker room with our coaching staff. And, you know, it generates conversation without a doubt. You know, players talking about it. And what I appreciate is, you know, I've had extended conversations with our players. So I understand it. I think the big thing that we challenge our players is to make sure to communicate. Communicate, you know, your thoughts on it. Let's talk about it. And, you know, it's a lot of strong feelings and a lot of strong feelings within the team and with all teams in the NFL. But, you know, our guys have been great about it. There's been great discussions about it. And I think it's kind of opened awareness to how people feel.
It's amazing where that conversation has gone. The commissioner of the NFL has issued a statement on it. The president of the United States has made commentary on it. I mean, it's amazing how one person's act during the national anthem has really attracted that much attention.
You know, it's interesting, Logs. I have a good military friend, and I talked to him about it, and he said, you know, I really don't have an issue with it. And I was shocked a little bit by that. But he said, you know what, we fought for these freedoms so that people do have the freedom of speech. And he said, so that we fought. That's why we went and have fought for these very principles. And so, you know, he didn't have as much of a gripe about it, I guess you should say. But, I mean, I think it's just brought awareness as far as, you know, people's feelings, and it's an emotional deal. And we all understand that. Myself, my dad was in the Navy, and so I have very strong feelings to the military and what they've done for our country. And, you know, I think somewhere it's not just about that, though. It's about the relationships that we have as United States and between race groups. And you know, so I think that's what the whole message is, and to bring awareness there.
Your dad was in the Navy?
Yeah.
Well, really, how did he do with sea legs? Did he end up on a boat?
No, he ended up not being real good because he didn't know how to swim and he was in the Navy. So you know what? But, you know, I know that it was brought up in our family just how important it is.
Now, my dad was Air Force, still have his dog tags for when he served to this day.
Right. Well, and both my uncles. So, you know, there's a lot of history. You know, just like a lot of families, they got a lot of history with the, you know, Navy, Air Force, Army, Marines. You know, I think they've had such an impact.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back more with head coach Gus Bradley right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Kick off the season by cooling off this Saturday at Adventure Landing Shipwreck Island Water Park from 11 till 3. Buy your ticket online using promo code JAGS, J-A-G-S, for a special fan price of $20. It also includes an appearance by the Roar of the Jaguars. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Head coach Gus Bradley, me, Jeff Loggeman, and we're talking about Blake Bortles and tempo and protections and how much improved he is at understanding the protections. What challenges does a Dom Capers defense present in protections this week?
Well, they do a good job. They, you know, have a very good blitz package. And so, you know, when you guys, you know, see from different looks, you know, it could be a 3-4 look, could be from a 4-3 look. So give you a wide variety of looks. You know, and they got good personnel, good rushers. You know, a guy like Matthews coming off the edge. Not only will he come off the edge, but that experience where he had playing linebacker allows him to roam, you know, and to be kind of a bandit-type linebacker.
You call him a bandit, or do you call him there's so many different terms.
Spinner.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's like a spinner. And so, you know, you can't count on where he's going to be all the time. So there's some different things like that, but that we have to be on.
Yeah, the kind of interesting. The first spinner that I remember, okay, I've got his name. Who's the first spinner that you remember watching football?
I bet if you said it, you know, I'm trying to think back, you know, because I'm going back to when we did it.
Yeah, because, you know, the spinner, for people that don't know, a 3-down defensive line look, and then there's one guy standing up, and he's roaming. He could come from anywhere, go outside, inside, wherever. The one that I remember, growing up, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, you know what, I know, I mean, you primarily all the highlights you see from him, he was coming off the edge, you know, and his speed. And, you know, that's what you're looking at. Sometimes you don't want to take a guy off the edge. you know, and make him a spinner when he has so much skill set coming off the edge. So, but yeah, I mean, we have a spinner package that we use, you know, where we put different guys back there and different guy who is the spinner. We identify that. Could be by week, could be by team. So, you know, you see a lot of teams have that in their package.
Now, looking at the Packers defense, obviously veteran presence with Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, LaTroy Guyon. But they're going to be starting two rookies. They've got a fourth-round pick out of Stanford starting at inside linebacker, which allowed, I guess, Clay Matthews to move outside, Blake Martinez, and then a defensive end, Dean Lowry, also a fourth-round pick out of Northwestern. I mean, it's a little surprising to see two rookies into the lineup right away with the Green Bay Packers. Many people expect them to be a veteran team. I mean, they've been in the playoffs 7 years in a row, and here they are starting two rookies.
Right. Well, you know what? Sometimes the league, when you have a quarterback that gets paid pretty well, sometimes you're in a position where you got to be, you know, yeah, where you got to be flexible to play younger players. And, you know, that's what then the situation they're in. But these guys are both good players for them. And their package switched so much, Logs. You know, they could have, you know, four nickel rushers in there at one time in the game, and they're all veteran players. So, you know, you see a lot of rotations taking place with their front.
Looking at the back end in their secondary, some veteran guys, Sam Shields, very good player. And on the other side of him, Demarius Randall,
yep.
First-round pick last year, led them in pass breakups, had, what, I think three interceptions. And then in the back end, Clinton Dix at safety, and then Morgan Burnett. What do you see in that secondary?
Well, you know, very experienced group. You know, Randall's the youngest guy there that's playing for him. But we liked him coming out of the draft. We actually looked at him as a free safety type because of his range and because of his speed. So he's adjusted well to the corner spot. But, you know, Dix and Shields, Burnett, I mean, a very talented group back there. Played a lot of ball together. And, you know, I think that's the big part of it. Clinton Dix seems like a guy that has really just stepped in, and it's been a smooth transition for him.
Yeah, leading tackler last year. Devon House was a draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, and what was it, 2 years ago he was in Green Bay. Can you garner any information from him and his experience in Dom Capers' defense?
Well, I think you mostly go off of what you see on film. And, you know, there could be extended conversations with players. And, you know, we have conversations, but you really go off of what you see on tape, you know, how teams are trying to attack you and how you need to adjust both offensively and defensively. And you go from there. But, you know, he's had some experience, but things have changed. You know, I think of us a couple of years ago compared to where we are now. You know, and you would hope that they would talk about it because, you know, a lot of things have changed and how we do things. So, you know, I think you use those experiences, and mainly Logs, it could be used for personnel. You know, he knows a guy like Jordy really well. He knows, you know, the receivers pretty well. So, you know, maybe just conversation, casual conversations about that.
No, it's kind of surprising that the Green Bay Packers have really been so successful because, well, you look at the constant change that they have had. But the one constant that they have always had has been Aaron Rodgers. So that makes it not surprising. I mean, for me, Aaron Rodgers is simply one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I want to have a whole segment on Aaron Rodgers because it's worthy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's, you know, I was asked the question, is he the best in the game right now, or, you know, where is he at? You know, it's tough. You know how those comparisons are, but let me tell you something. If he's not, he's right there. And just look at his touchdown to interception ratio. You know, there's no one that has that, you know, stats like that.
We're supposed to say this for a whole segment.
Oh, we're going next? Are you going to a commercial?
No, we're not going to a commercial, but I want to say it because, I mean, he is worthy of a whole conversation.
Yeah, he is very talented.
But I want to finish this segment up by talking about a guy that I think a lot of people have just forgotten about the transition, Brandon Linder. To go from guard to center, a lot of people thought that this would be a significant move, and I was one of them. And I was sitting there going, wait, you just can't assume it's going to happen easy. But, boy, he misses the first game because of an injury in the preseason. And then since that point, watching him in practice, you just forget about it because it's not an issue and he's really a good football player.
Yeah, you constantly challenge yourself to think out of the box. And you want to make decisions what you think are best for the team. And there's a lot of evaluation that goes in. It's not only just his skill set, but his demeanor, his leadership, his intelligence. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And, you know, we just felt like, boy, he had all those qualities, all those qualities. And so for him to make the transition, we knew it wasn't going to be overwhelming. It was going to be.
Who was the first one that suggested it?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly. You know, it comes up. We talk personnel placement all the time, especially in the off season. And, you know, in college, you talk about it every day because it's important to get guys positioned at the right place. And the NFL is not as big of a deal. There are some guys we're looking at. You see, like a guy like Josh Johnson, he may end up playing a little bit of free safety. We might try him out there. You know, you got guys that you want to try and see their skill set. But, you know, with a guy like Linder's conversation, we felt like, you know what, that could be an easier transition. It's hard to find a center in the league, and we felt like we had somebody. We felt like, okay, a guard we can develop, or through moving a couple guys, we can satisfy that need.
How important also is it that Blake and Brandon Linder have a great friendship away from football?
Well, that's unique, too. They do have a great relationship, and they trust each other, and I think they count on each other. So, you know, that was, you know, wasn't a sole factor, but that was something that we knew. Hey, they would communicate really well. They understand each other. They know how they're going to think. So, you know, that was a good dynamic as well.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk Aaron Rodgers. How about that?
Okay.
And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Southern Chevy dealers and the Jaguars are teaming up to bring you the opportunity to win the ultimate VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. The grand prize includes round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations in the team hotel, tickets and pregame field passes for two to the Jaguars versus Colts game in Indianapolis on New Year's Day, and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Nine runner-up winners will win tickets and a money can't buy experience at a Jaguars home game in 2016. Visit any of your local Southern Chevy dealerships to enter today. Go to ChevyWinners.com for more information.
Jaguars fans, if you're looking to buy a home or refinance your current mortgage, it's time to take it to the house with your hometown lender. EverBank and their team of home lending specialists are ready to go to work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. So if you're ready to make the most of your lending experience, connect with an EverBank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is an equal housing lender, NMLS 399805.
To enjoy a perfectly crafted 1893 from the makers of Pepsi-Cola, you must first appreciate its carefully selected ingredients. A dash of cola nut extract, a hint of real sugar, a splash of sparkling water, and a generous amount of attractive spokesperson. Trust me, I'm gorgeous. Cheers to 1893 Boldly Blended Colas, a delicious balancing act of premium ingredients from the makers of Pepsi-Cola.
Football season is nearly here, and the bank will be rocking September the 11th when the Jags face Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in a sold-out game at EverBank Field. There is still a way you can be there. A limited number of tickets are available in season ticket packages. See the Packers and the Ravens, Raiders, Vikings, and more. Get your season tickets at Jaguars.com or call 904-633-2000. The countdown to opening day and the 2016 season is on. Jacksonville, are you ready for more?
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, and it's time to talk Aaron Rodgers. We can probably dedicate an entire show to Aaron Rodgers. He's that good. Just a couple of things that stand out with Aaron Rodgers. Number one in NFL history in these three categories. Interception percentage, touchdown to interception ratio, and career passer rating. It's pretty impressive. Now, and here's the numbers. Career interception percentage, 1.6%. Second place is Tom Brady. Number one in NFL history, career touchdown interception ratio, 3.95. And then career passer rating, a 104.1. And it has to be, I think, minimum 1,500 attempts. Number two is Russell Wilson, I believe. That's pretty impressive numbers for a quarterback.
It is. You know what? And when you watch the tape, you see it. The film doesn't lie. You know, just a very, very talented quarterback in the league. The poise that he has. You talk about tempo, you know, and the time that he has to diagnose things. But he can do it on the run. You know, while he's dropping back, he can look defenders off, come back. He knows exactly where he's going with the ball. He's got great accuracy. So, yeah, I mean, everybody knows Aaron Rodgers and the talent he possesses.
Watching him in the preseason, there wasn't a whole lot to watch. He had nine attempts in the preseason, so there's not a lot to watch. So I go back and I watch today the Minnesota Vikings game. It was at the end of the year, very cold. Josh Sitton is playing left tackle, and the guy that's going to be starting at left guard, Lane Taylor, is actually playing left guard in that game. I wanted to watch it for that. But then also the thing that just jumps out is that Aaron Rodgers looks like Aaron Rodgers every game you turn on. He extends the play. He buys time in the pocket, outside the pocket, and his control of the tempo and snap count even is immense.
Well, we talk about no freebies. You know, that getting a free play, using the count to get a free play, extended plays, because a lot of his explosive plays come off of extended plays. And that's one of the challenges that we have this week, is to, you know, be disciplined on the line of scrimmage and to understand that when they extend plays, it's not just, you know, receivers coming back to the ball to try to get an easy completion. They try to go for home runs. And, they understand him so well, they know him so well, that the receivers that have adjusted, they know exactly what they're doing, where they're going, and what they're trying to do as far as get explosive plays off of it.
Is he more dangerous? A lot of times people say about certain quarterbacks, okay, we need to get him out of the pocket. And then some quarterbacks you say, well, we need to keep him in the pocket. He's one of those let's keep him in the pocket guys, isn't he?
Well, you know, he does a good job getting the ball, rid of the ball in a hurry. You know, if he feels pressure, he's very good against pressure, very good against the blitz. So, yeah, you know, I think for the most part teams would look and want to keep him confined, you know, in a pocket. Ideally, you like to have it converge and not lose contain. But it's challenging. You know, you got different protection schemes and so the D lineman got to get schooled up on that. And he's going to get out some. Every game he does it. So it's hard to stop, but I think it's knowing if he does get out, how we're going to handle it.
Watching him against the Minnesota Vikings last year, the Minnesota Vikings, Mike Zimmer's their head coach, a bright defensive mind. He actually had at times to where there was a spy, to where they would rush guys, and then one guy would pull out and then literally mirror Aaron, and if he would escape one way, that he'd get chased down. If the other way, then he'd get chased down. The guy, it looks like the guy's responsibility was like a spy technique, and his whole job was to run Aaron Rodgers down whenever he got out of the pocket.
Right, and, you know, those came up on certain down and distances, you know, where you saw that. Because you're taking a guy out of the rush or you're taking a guy out of the coverage to do that. But it's that important, you know, in some situations. And some of those logs were based on the coverage that they were running. You know, if you're playing a lot of two-man and everybody's using trail technique and the linebackers are out of the box, you need that guy that can spy and take, you know, make sure that if he does get loose, you have somebody for him.
All right, we'll talk some of Aaron Rodgers' weapons right after this, right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logman alongside the head coach. And Aaron Rodgers has, it looks like, a pretty wide array of weapons, including the return of Jordy Nelson at wide receiver, who pretty dynamic player a couple years ago.
He was. You know, a lot of times you go back and you look at their explosive plays over the course of a year. And, I know last year he was hurt, but the year before, because, you know, we had a lot of time to look back. And he's involved in a lot of them. You know, he's their deep threat. He's got great speed, on the perimeter. Great radius as far as his catching radius. Just a very talented player.
And Randall Cobb, opposite of him, a guy that you guys are probably very familiar with. Supposedly made a run at him in free agency last year. Nice compliments to each other.
He really is. You know, more of the active receiver in the slot. Pivot routes, angle routes, you know, under routes, has the ability to stretch it deep, but can take a short route and turn it into a home run. And, a good complement as far as an inside-outside combination.
The tight ends got even better for the Packers in the offseason. They had Richard Rodgers, who a year ago had 8 touchdown catches, and they add a guy that many Jaguar fans probably know, Jared Cook, who was a tight end with the Tennessee Titans in the last 3 years, spent time with the St. Louis Rams. And they were able to acquire him in free agency. What does he add to their offense?
Well, you know, he's got obviously the size, and he's like another receiver. He can block. He does a good job there. But just on the perimeter, you know, very similar to, not to compare, but a Finley, you know, when they had a couple of years ago. And so, you know, what they do with them and how they utilize them, you know, we'll wait and see. You know, in the preseason, again, the combinations that they use, they didn't show their hand too much. So a lot of it is just anticipating and using some guesswork based on their history.
Stopping the running game, though, has got to be priority number one.
It really is. You know, ideally, they'd like to have 150 yards rushing. You know, if Aaron Rodgers threw it 24, 25 times and they had 150 yards rushing, they're okay, you know, because they know that with the passing game, you know, if they get the run game going that well, they're going to have some explosive plays in the passing game.
Well, cold weather team, they want to be able to run the football late in the season. And they have what I would consider a cold weather back. I mean, Eddie Lacy's a big, powerful back, and he's got a little a little shiftiness to him. He's pretty nimble for a big
guy.
Well,
he is. You know what? I mean, you've seen that tape if you watch him. He has the ability to spin in traffic. You know, it's downhill running and can make people miss. But you're right. He's we talked about the tackling plan earlier. You have to have one with him. He's a big-bodied individual. And you got a big boy tackle him. You got to find a way. And, you know, it's going to take quite a few guys to get to the pile. But, you know, whether you're a corner or linebacker, to have that plan because he has a unique style.
You know, it was actually got a segment coming up on Film Room Friday. I saw in the preseason somebody actually tackled him by his hair, which is legal. I don't know if that would be part of the tackling plan this week.
Not our tackling plan. But, yeah, he's – you know, I know they talked to him about losing weight or just getting in better conditioning. But, you know, he's a guy that is something to deal with.
If he lost weight from watching the film in preseason, I don't know how much he lost. He's still a big man.
Well, I'll let you decide that, Lugs.
The release of Josh Sitton this week with the Green Bay Packers, who was a longtime player, Pro Bowl guard for the Green Bay Packers. They're going to be inserting Lane Taylor, who is an undrafted guy, at the left guard spot. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, you know, at this late in the time, but I'm sure they have their reasons, you know, whatever took place there. So, you know, we just saw the change and that he was let go, and then we're on, all right, who's replacing him, like you said, and let's start studying him. So we didn't get too much into – you know, I don't know exactly what took place. I don't know, you know, if they made many comments on it. It's more of just, you know, we're concerned with the guys that are there.
All right, let's take a break right here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college football. And also want to talk about defensive coordinator Todd Walsh. And we'll do that right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. This segment is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. This week, there's a lot of new faces on defense for your football team that will be facing Aaron Rodgers and all those weapons. And also one of the new faces is a longtime friend of yours, Todd Walsh, as defensive coordinator. Are you excited to see him call plays on game day? Because that's the one thing that you really can't tell yet because he hasn't been in the live action.
Right. You know, but I understand how he's going to go about it. And, you know, I'm in the conversations and in the room quite a bit. So, you know, that was part of the advantage that we have extended conversations. We can challenge one another and how we go about this. So, but he's done a fabulous job thus far. I mean, just to where the team was in OTAs and to their mindset and with new faces. I mean, coaching that D-line room, that's quite a task in itself, you know, yeah. All the different personalities. But, you know, he's done a great job with it. So I am excited for him. I'm excited for this defensive unit.
I was looking, and, you know, depending on what package you guys are in, you could have five, it could be six, or it could be seven new faces in a defensive package on the field this Sunday against Green Bay Packers.
Right, and, you know, that's the challenge. But that was one that, regardless, we're going to be faster. We got speed now that, you know, at a lot of positions on our defense, and that's really the name of the game. Sure, there's challenging. The NFL, it's not 101 or 201 anymore. It's 501. And it requires you to really be on it as far as knowledge and understanding the scheme. So those are challenges in itself. But you still need to play fast, and that speed's a very important factor.
All right, so you got to interpret some of that. 101, 201, 501.
Well, you know, your college courses, 501 was a little bit more difficult than maybe you stayed in the 101.
I don't know if I got to 501.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's good. You know, I think the idea was to try to simplify it. You can't simplify it completely. It's the NFL, and you're going against a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's seen a variety of looks. So, you know, within your package, you stay true to it, but you got some different looks that you can show them, and it presents some challenges, not only for them, but for your players to make sure they're on the details of it.
When you have that many new faces, communication has to be right at the top of the list as far as, you know, keys to success on defense. In the back end with Tashaun Gibson, and you've got a young player, and Jalen Ramsey, Prince Amukamara is a newer player. How has the communication been thus far, and how do you expect it to be in the regular season?
Well, we expect it to be high, you know, I think that the time that they've had together. But it starts off with teaching them the communication. Then they have to learn to trust each other, and they have to learn that, hey, if I communicate to you a certain call, I can trust that you're going to perform it, and I don't have to worry about you performing it. Therefore, I can really put all my attention to what I need to do. And so that's a process in itself, and depending on the overload or the number of defensive calls that you have. So fortunately, those guys are all really close. And so they constantly are talking about, I walked by them today. There's a group of four of them, five of them that were standing there, and they were going through the game plan and, you know, the conversations that took place. So, you know, they're doing a great job. And like I said, I'm excited for them. They're a really close-knit unit.
With a guy like Jalen Ramsey, is he in 201, 301, 401, or 501? You know, because, you know, I think it's an honest question as far as how he would compare to other younger players that have come in, like an Aaron Colvin or like a Demetrius McCray or Dwayne Grotz. They went through their rookie year.
Well, everybody's different. You know, a lot of it is based on your skill level. So there's going to be some things he looks like 501. You know, with his skill level and what he has. I mean, his length, his poise, and how he plays. But it's the NFL, and there's, you know, he's going to be seeing things for the first time, and he's going to have to react on his instincts and his trust of the package and his responsibilities and let his God-given abilities take over. So there'll be some lessons that he'll learn, but he'll do a lot of good things as well.
All right, well, let's take a break right here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll come back. We'll talk a little North Dakota State.
And Virginia.
And Virginia. I got the V on today. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, before we get to college football, Kelvin Beachum. Played in the third preseason game, had, according to my count, I think it was 26 snaps, counting penalties and everything. In a regular season game, what is the average? 65, 70 snaps?
Yeah, it
snaps?
Can vary. You know, say 60 on the average.
That's a challenge for him, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? And that's why, you know, that last game for us, his conditioning was important. You know, put him some strenuous things those couple days leading up to the Atlanta game. And then obviously when we came back, he was here getting treatment. And it really wasn't even treatment. It was just more conditioning. And then to have a couple days like we've had, really for the whole team, I thought it was really important to really strain him in this environment and after coming off a couple days off.
All right, we got to talk a little college football. The North Dakota State University Bison, okay, have a better record than the Virginia Cavaliers.
Are we keeping track of this?
Yeah, we're going to keep track of this all year. Okay, North Dakota State, big victory last weekend. Charleston Southern, 24-17 win. Do you know where Charleston Southern is?
Yeah, I know where Charleston Southern is. You know what?
I don't. Is it at Charleston, South Carolina? I'm assuming that.
In overtime. I think they won it was an overtime game.
Big win.
Yeah, big win.
Well, the question I have this week, in Fargo, you guys have Eastern Washington, and they call it the Trees Bowl. What is a Trees Bowl?
Well, it's they used to, I believe, call it the Harvest Bowl. You know, but now they didn't have the Trees Bowl when I was there. We had the Harvest Bowl. So I don't know the exact facts behind the Trees Bowl, but it's probably right up your alley.
Well, I mean, you know? I like trees, but I was wondering, it was because, you know, I've got family from North Dakota. You spent a lot of time in North Dakota. there's not a lot of trees in North Dakota.
No.
So I was trying to figure
out how
they're
getting more because of the tree bowl. You know, they're planting more trees. You know what? Yeah, they've got great tradition. Look at Eastern Washington beat Washington State. You know, these 1AA programs are doing well versus, you know, some of the opponents they're playing.
All right, the University of Virginia with a new coach, Bronco Mendenhall, down to the Richmond Spiders, 37-20, and then they got Oregon this weekend.
Challenging week, right?
Thanks, Gus.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next week right here. Same time, same place right here on the Gus Bradley Show.